תפילת החברים. בורא,
the prayer of the friends. Creator, thank you for placing us on this path that gives you contentment and joy. Give us the strength to annul our self-love completely and only think of others in order to feel your greatness. Change our nature so that we become similar to you. Connect us as one so that we can see and feel your love and become a light unto the nations. Please.
So,
what does it mean that if the good grows, so grows the bad in the work? The verse says, and the sons were running within her. And she said, if this is so, why me? And she went to seek the Lord. Rashi brings the words of our sages, the word running, when she was passing by the doors of Torah, of Shem and Evel, Jacob was running and pressing to come out. Passing by the doors of idol worship, Esau was pressing to come out. Another interpretation, struggling with each other and quarreling about the inheritance of the two worlds. We see that during pregnancy, one turned towards Kedusha, holiness, and one turned towards idol worship.
Thus,
what is the novelty that the Torah tells us later that the boys grew and Esau became a hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was an honest man dwelling in tents? Presumably, when they were born, as when they were born, so they continued according to their qualities. Rashi explains this, and he says, the boys grew. As long as they were little, they were not recognized by their actions. And a person is not meticulous about their nature. When they turned 13 years of age, one turned towards seminaries, and one turned to idol worship. In order to understand this in the work, how we learn Jacob and Esau in one person, we must first understand the qualities of Jacob and Esau in the work. It is known that all the evil that we learn, which is against Kedusha, is called in a work the desire to receive for oneself, while Kedusha is called a desire to bestow upon the Creator. As it is written, you will be holy for the Lord, for I, the Lord, am holy. Holy means that he retires from receiving for himself, but only to bestow, since the Creator bestows upon the created beings, and the created beings must bestow upon the Creator. As our sages said, as he is merciful, so you are merciful. For this reason, we call the will to receive for oneself by the name Esau, and the desire to bestow upon the Creator by the name Jacob. Now we can understand the meaning of Esau. As Rashi interprets, they all called him this because he was complete and fully developed with his hair, like one many years old. This implies the will to receive for oneself, on which there is no need to work, because the Creator had already made it. In that, the desire to do good to His creations created the will to receive. For this reason, the evil inclination is called an old and foolish king, as it is written in the Zohar. But the will to bestow, which is called Jacob, requires much work before one obtains this desire. It is the complete opposite of Esau, who was made and completed by itself by the Creator. Conversely, the will to bestow pertains to man's work, since it is extended from the correction of the restriction. When Malchut, called the will to receive, yearned to be a giver like the emanator. Hence, she made the correction of the restriction to receive only in order to bestow. And by this, she acquires equivalence of form. This is called the quality of Esau, as Rashi interprets about Esau. They all called him this because he was complete and fully developed. In other words, a person does not need to work in order to obtain vessels of reception. Rather, as soon as one is born, he already has the evil inclination. As the Zohar says, that as soon as he is born, he has the evil inclination, as it is written, sin crouches at the door. It interprets that the door is the opening of the womb. The evil inclination, called sin, promptly comes to him. As David says, my sin is ever before me. Conversely, Jacob is the vessels of bestow. For them to control the man comes by deceit. As it is written, and he said, your brother came deceitfully and took away your blessing. Concerning this deceit, Baal HaSulam said that since the beginning of engagement in Torah and Mitzvot is in Lo Lishma, as for this, the will to receive can agree. But later, by this, we are rewarded with Lishma. When Esau yells, you deceived me, as it is written, and he said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me twice. We should interpret that twice means in mind and in heart. We begin in Lo Lishma. Hence, the body does not object so much, since he makes it believe him that he is working only for the sake of the body, which is called self-love. However, to later emerge from this governance of self-love and be rewarded with the love of the Creator, here begins the real work. And here begins the order of the work, regarded as a person wanting to step on the track that leads to adhesion with the Creator. The work begins with ibur, conception or impregnation, meaning when we want to shift from the will to receive for oneself and enter the will to bestow. This is the meaning of the words, and the boys were running around within her. Rashi interpreted the word running that when she passed over the doors of Torah, of Shem and Ever, Jacob was running and pressing to come out. When she was passing by the doors of idol worship, Esau was pressing to come out. Al-Sulam interpreted that when a person begins the work, this is the time when contradicting thoughts come to him. That is, before he begins the work of bestowal, he cannot really notice the subtle discernments in the order of the work.
But
when he wants to begin the work of bestowal, he can feel every state that he is in. She said that when a person passes by the doors of Torah, he awakens and thoughts that he should enter a place of Torah, which is regarded as, for they are our life and the length of our days, come to him. This is regarded as the awakening of the quality of Jacob. At that time, he thinks he will remain in such thoughts forever, since he feels that this is life's purpose. And it is not worthwhile to pay attention to corporeality, as this is not what matters in life, and not what one should live for. But later, when he passes by the doors of idol worship, meaning when he goes out to the street and sees that all the people are immersed only in self-love and are not interested in bestowal whatsoever, he immediately gets thoughts that he should follow their path. And he forgets now about all the work he has done in the matter of Lishma, that this is what matters in life. Now, he understands completely differently. This is called idol worship, when he serves himself and not the Creator. In the work, this is called idol worship, which means that a person sees that the quality of the Esau in him is pressing to come out and take part with them. However, we see this only during the Ibu. Meaning when a person wants to shift from self-love to the love of the Creator, which is in order to bestow. But when he is still working like the general public, he cannot notice all of these sensations, although they are in him. The reason for this is simple. It is, as our sages said, a matter of no interest for a person I do not know.
It
means that something that is of little interest to a person, he does not think about it. For this reason, specifically those who want to walk on the path of the individuals called in order to bestow, because they want to know if they are advancing in the work, their sense of criticism is developed so as to notice every little thing. They see every little thing so as to know if they are fine or not. Hence, the above mentioning running around between Jacob and Esau begins in the Ibur. It is written, and the sons were running within her. And she said, if this is so, why me? That is, when a person begins to see that one time he yearns for the love of the Creator, and another time he yearns for self-love. And then he says, if this is so, why me? Meaning, why do I need all this work? If I see that my ups and downs are endless, and I feel that ever since I have begun the work on the path of bestowal, I have been left empty-handed from here and from there. That is, while I was working like the general public, I knew that each and every day I was advancing in the work of the Creator, since each day I could introspect and see how long I prayed, how much I learned, and I had what to look at. I was happy and high-spirited, since I was looking only at the actions. And I saw that, thank God, I was successful in the work. But now that I have begun to work on the aim to bestow, and I was told that the actions I do with the aim, that it is because the Creator commanded us to do and to observe the Torah and Mitzvot, are not enough, and I must also aim to bestow, meaning for the sake of the Creator. Yet, I see that as much as I exert, I cannot prevail. Even though I think I did all that I could, yet I'm not moving one step forward. So, what is the purpose? If this is so, why me? Why did I leave the work in the manner of the general public? This is the meaning of the words, and she went to seek the Lord. That is, he saw that now there was no choice, since he could no longer return to the general public, because once he saw that there was a path of truth, he could no longer work only in practice. Therefore, he has no choice but to seek the Lord, that he will help him. As our sages said, he who comes to purify is aided. He says, now I see what our sages said. Man's inclination overcomes him every day. And were it not for the help of the Creator, he would not overcome it. He does not need to believe that he cannot overcome it, since he sees it within reason. But those who work within reason must believe that the Creator helps them, since within reason they see that they are engaging in Torah and Mitzvot, and they see that when the body wants to be a little lazy, they immediately overcome the body's idleness, and they do not see that there is a flaw in their work. Although they see that there are greater people than them in quantity and quality, it is known that there is no end to greatness. And thank God, he sees that he is considered among the important people, and he never gets bad thoughts, meaning to think that there is bad in him. Rather, he is almost fine, since there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and does not sin. Hence, he believes above reason that he does have faults, but it is only because he is looking for lowliness. Although, in truth, his state in spirituality is not so bad. Conversely, those who want to shift to working in bestowal, it is within reason that they have no progress in Torah and mitzvot so as to be able to aim in order to bestow. Therefore, they see that they have no other choice but to demand of the Creator to help them. Also, it is difficult for them to pray for the help of the Creator because they fall into doubt that the Creator will hear their prayer. This comes to them because they have already prevailed many times and asked the Creator to help them be able to engage in the work of bestowal. But they received no progress in the work of bestowal. Thus, they now need great strengthening in order to pray, to be able to pray to the Creator to help them. That is, they must believe above reason that the Creator will help them, while within reason they see that they are bare and destitute with respect to the work of bestowal. This is the complete opposite of how they were while they worked like the general public. Now we will explain what we asked. Why is it written, the boys grew and Esau became a man of the field, and Jacob was an honest man dwelling in tents? We asked, what is the novelty? Certainly, as they were during the Ibur, so they would be when they grow up. Rashi explains this, and he says, as long as they were little, they were not recognized by their actions, and a person is not meticulous about their nature. When they turned 13 years of age, one turned towards seminaries, and one turned to idol worship. We should interpret this in the manner that our sages said. Our sages said, one should always see oneself as half guilty, half innocent. If he performs one mitzvah, happy is he, for he has shifted himself to the side of merit. The question is, after he has performed one mitzvah and has already shifted himself to the side of merit, how can he still say that he should see himself as half guilty, half innocent? After all, he has already shifted himself to the side of merit. We should explain, as our sages said, that old man taught him, anyone who is greater than his friend, his inclination is greater. We should also understand this. Why, if he becomes great, his evil inclination grows in him as well? as was said above. It is because they must be half and half. Otherwise, it will be impossible to choose, to make a decision. Once he has performed one mitzvah, he has already shifted to the side of merit, or vice versa. Hence, when the evil is added to him, meaning when he becomes great, that is, after he has performed one mitzvah, it follows that each time he grows, evil is added to him. This is why he is always in a state of half good and half bad. This is why it says one should always see oneself as half guilty, half innocent. By this, we can interpret what Rashi explains. And the boys grew. As long as they were little, they were not recognized by their actions. And a person is not meticulous about their nature. That is, when one is small, he does not have much good. Naturally, he does not have much bad, so that the bad in him becomes apparent. This is why Rashi interprets they were not recognized by their actions, and a person is not meticulous about their nature. But when they grow, both grow. And then there is a distinction between the good inclination and the evil inclination. This comes to teach us that in the beginning of the work, during the Ibu, meaning when a person begins to shift from the work of the general public to the work of individuals, the bad immediately begins to appear in him. However, it is not so apparent. Yet when he begins to ascend in the work and begins to grow, as it is written, the boys grew. To the extent and order of the growth, so grows the evil. According to the measure of the good that he does, so grows the measure of the evil in him. As was said, so he will be half guilty, half innocent. Now we can understand what Rashi explained. Another interpretation, struggling with each other and quarreling about the inheritance of the two worlds. We should understand for what purpose there needs to be a quarrel between them. It is, as our sages said, Rabbi Levi said, one should always vex the good inclination over the evil inclination. Rashi explains that he should wage war against the evil inclination. We need to understand what is the purpose of this war. Would it not be better if a person saw that the evil in him did not awaken? Why does he need to awaken it and fight with it? It would be better if he did not put himself at risk, for he might not be able to defeat it. As our sages said, one must not put oneself in danger. In the work, when we want to achieve bestowal, we must say, when we perform mitzvot or engage in Torah, that we want to do everything with the aim to bestow. This is called vexing the good inclination over the evil inclination. Since when a person says to his body, we must work for the sake of the Creator and not for our own sake, the body immediately becomes angry and resists with all its might. He tells him, you can do anything, but for the sake of the Creator and not for our own sake, this is out of the question. It follows that if he does not vex it, he will never be able to achieve the truth. Rav, maybe you can, certainly you can explain what does it mean to vex the good inclination.
To vex the good inclination over the bad means to have them quarrel. Each one would feel the other is trying to cancel it.
What is the purpose of it?
To strengthen the good inclination, let's say. So it would want to overcome the bad inclination and not allow it to even appear, which is seemingly the best. But on the other hand, if we don't give room for the evil inclination to grow, then the good inclination doesn't feel its boundaries, what it needs to do. In other words, you have to see them as one against the other. Creator has made them.
So we want both of them to grow stronger.
Yes. We want both of them specifically to grow stronger,
but not to pay attention to maybe my power will diminish.
That
my strength is actually declining. And I won't be able to prevail.
We need to see both of them growing over one another. One gets on top of the other, and the next time the other gets on top of the other. And in this way they grow. Because you can have the good inclination grow without the bad inclination, or the bad inclination grow without the good inclination, whether it's one versus the other.
The difference between them, it's not about this is good and the other is bad, but rather good and bad, it's a distinction. It's a discernment or distinction between these two qualities. The evil inclination is not really evil, it's not bad. It's great help that we get.
Yes.
And the good inclination, well, it's really the same thing.
They need to have this struggle until they reveal one another. And specifically from these two that are at odds, from that the Creator grows and He connects them and brings them together to the state.
How is the help of the Creator manifested?
The help of the Creator comes when you receive the strength to scrutinize what is good and what is bad in each and every discernment.
If the Creator wants to keep me closer to Him, then He will always give me a feeling of distancing, will increase the evil inclination in me, right, so that I'll need Him more. Can we say that the help of the Creator is specifically when He increases the evil inclination in me, when He makes me feel more distant?
Yes, of course, in that as well. All the actions that come from above, from the Creator, are related to correction, even if by that He awakens the evil inclination to be stronger.
Can we be with a feeling of feeling that we're getting filled with in the good inclination and at the same time have a feeling of demand from the Creator, have a feeling of we're being filled but also have a demand for Him?
It's possible, but not when you are being filled, because then you have no demand.
So how can we be both in the feeling of that we're being filled and in a demand? Or should we always feel that something is lacking and then pray to Him?
Only from a lack can we advance.
So there is no advancement in the good?
Advancement in the in good for the time being, no.
He writes that he has already prevailed many times. He asked the Creator to help him, but he did not receive any advancement in the work he stole. Why does the Creator give a person the feeling that his prayers are not helping time and again? How does that help?
It's for a man to need the help of the Creator.
But then too, he sees that he's not getting the help from the Creator time and again.
No, he receives help. If he's asking for help, he's getting help.
What is the help? How is the help of the Creator manifested?
The Creator shows him what he has to strengthen, what does he have to do, so that the force of bestowal will grow in.
The person notices that the more he advances, there's a greater gap between this and that. Both of them grow. So, how do we affect the good inclination over the evil inclination?
When I want the good inclination to be in control, and the evil inclination doesn't let him control.
So these are all the actions that we do, the study, the 10, all of these actions. But what does it mean to vex it, to make it angry?
To place one opposite the other. So the evil inclination will face the good inclination and will want to control it.
The evil inclination will want to control the good inclination?
Yes.
That happens anyway, doesn't it?
Yes.
Here he describes a state that when a person is in the evil inclination, let's say he falls, he's certain that he's going to remain this way his whole life. He even forgets that before he was in bestowal, and when he's in a state of ascent, then he looks at it and says, what is this beastly life? It's not worth anything. But then he says, one should always vex the good inclination over the evil inclination.
If you wish to advance.
So what is this vex? What is this technique of vexing it?
That you always want the good inclination to be in control, and by that you can advance toward resembling the Creator.
I want it. When I'm in an ascent, I want it.
Yeah?
When I'm in a descent, I don't want it. But he says that you should always vex the good inclination over the evil inclination.
You need to. You need to try and vex it.
How?
This is your work in the group. You have very small, very weak good inclination. And you need to collect from all the friends their attitude toward this good, and when you connect it into one desire, then yeah, you can grow.
ולמה זה נקרא להרגיז?
What is it called? Vexing. This is our work all the time.
No, there'll be one against the other. One against the other. Two inclinations. And you must vex one over the other. Then typically you have no choice but to cry to the Creator to... would have been clear from the get-go.
How can I work with myself in this form of deceit and with my will to receive?
I don't
think you can do it except with the group. A person on his own cannot do it. He's seemingly working on a tiny tip. He has nothing with which to decide.
Rav, I wanted to ask about the Ibur impregnation. He writes that Ibur is the transition from reception to in order to bestow.
Yes.
So how does the Ibur happen? It happens out of
annulment.
Annulment is an action that you perform in order to receive or in order to bestow?
No, when you try to annul yourself toward the force of bestowal.
But by which force do you perform the annulment?
From the force of reception.
So the whole entrance, the Ibur, the entrance to Ibur is based on reception? On the force of reception?
No,
the force of concession that you make goes against the force of reception.
I'm asking because seemingly it turns out that the result of the Ibur is that you reach in order to bestow. But when you enter the Ibur, by this you're shifting to in order to bestow.
Yes.
So the entrance to the Ibur is seemingly you're not yet in order to bestow. How can you get into it?
No, entering impregnation is when you start with annulment of yourself.
Okay. And the force for self-annulment is, where do you get it from?
He receives it from above because it's an upper force. He receives it from above, and with the help of this force, he can annul his tiny will to receive. And in this way, he starts to grow up.
And the will, your will to receive in order to receive asks for that? You reach a request that you truly want that?
You truly wish to annul yourself.
How do you reach this, I truly want to annul?
From below, from above, sorry, you don't have it. Only from above.
So, if it's only from above, then what is in your hands to do so that from above they'll give you this power?
To annul yourself, to want to annul yourself, to have this inclination toward it, small actions in order to annul yourself.
But in the end, it is being done over you.
Everything from above, yes. Everything comes.
Put it on the side, Rav. What is the advice for us to begin this work anew? How do we awaken this matter of trying to annul ourselves more? The advice is that I have no choice. I must annul all of my forces and annul before the upper one. so that he is constantly turning me like on a frying pan, one time this side and then the other side, and I accordingly just need to try to annul. To annul. Towards the upper one.
Feeling like a rag is very strong.
No, it's not a rag. I don't feel myself like a rag. I feel myself doing this supreme work.
I meant the fact that you're being flipped over like on a pan. There's no power to deal with anything the Creator is taking through you. Passing through you, and the understanding of what it means to annul exists, but it's very difficult to work in that direction because you don't feel like you're getting help. Although it says, "One who comes to be purified is aided."
But
seemingly, I can't find the strength to get back to this work. Of attempts that are very extremely discouraging. I can do many other types of actions, but this annulment thing, I'm not able to work on this point.
I'll tell you, annulment is not that you completely annul yourself and you don't do anything, but rather that you replace your previous role with a new role. And then you engage in that, even though it's not according to your nature.
What is the previous role and the new role?
That if before you were engaging in one thing with the friends, now you're engaging in something else, what is for their benefit. And let's say it's not for your benefit.
This we do, but along with that has to be a feeling of annulment. A person can try.
Annulment is that you left your previous business. Now you're investing yourself in a new style of work.
And it should awaken additional power from above.
Yes.
And
when that power does not awaken, what should a person do? He's probably doing something wrong.
Let's try. Let's try.
Yes.
What characterizes the evil that's revealed to anyone who's walking correctly on the path?
The
evil that is revealed is revealed in that I don't need support from the group. That's the
עוד שאלה עם מרכז אחד וגם women.
Another question from Kaz 1 and women from Kabu and French 1. They're asking about Rabash's writing in the form of a singular form. Where is the work of a person with the 10, with the environment?
Rabash writes with respect to a single person, and he is inside the 10, inside the world, in the work, in the study, well, in the group. But nevertheless, how does a person feel how he should receive these his
distress one another and so on and so forth? The question is, how can a person identify the good inclination? I only identify the bad inclination in me. How do I identify the good inclination in order to to do this work.
So do something in order to go again.
Да, дорогой Раф, а вот в этой борьбе вот между Яковом и Исавом, то, что здесь по статье,
in this struggle between Jacob and Esau that is described here, the triumph of Jacob, is that something that's pre-planned? Meaning he has to eventually triumph over the evil inclination, because sometimes you feel like Esau is winning, meaning you're falling into the evil inclination. Are we ensured the triumph of Jacob?
Bring all of our corporeal development, meaning when the will to receive develops, certainly Esau wins, triumphs more and more, until we reach the last stage, when there is war between them, and in this war, finally Jacob wins.
Yes. What does
it mean that Jacob will win? Let's say I'm looking back, and a year ago I was able to be more in intention in prayer, now less. I also see that it's not me who decided, that it kind of comes out by itself. So how to make it so that Jacob would truly win?
How to make Jacob win? We need to want it very much. And that inside each and every one of us, the force of bestowal will cover the force of reception.
Захотеть, ну как бы с одной стороны, ты видишь, что то есть ты как бы теряешь как бы.
Yes, on the one hand, you see that you're seemingly you're losing some inner focus. You're thrown somewhere, you fall somewhere. There's no certainty that you will be able to hold on and be sharp and attack. Maybe you just fall into values of this world. How to stop it?
The responsibility or the guarantee that everything will work out, it exists in the very beginning. The Creator chose this path in order for us to advance, and that we will reach a state where we will all choose it, that there is no choice but that the good force must win, because the evil force will always pull us to death. The evil force has no more than the good force, but only because from the very beginning it was given to us as a force that wins. The ego wins. This is how we were born, and this is how we see it with in children, in babies, and this is how it is in each and every one. However, after we advance, we see that this force cannot really win. It can't.
Can. Ну просто, вот вы говорите, мы должны выбрать. Вот хотелось бы выбрать один раз, что вроде как ты уже и выбрал, ты на пути, ты там.
So we can choose. I only choose once. I seemingly chose. You're on the path. You participate in whatever you can. But there's no feeling of, oh, you made one choice and everything kind of follows through.
Because it works on a, you advance on the degrees. If you succeed in the first degree, you're given a second degree, a third degree, a fourth degree, and so on. It's not at one time. It says he writes that only good and mercy shall chase after me all the days of my life, and not at once does a person reach such a state where he defeats the evil inclination.
Ну вот просто, когда вот смотришь. смотришь на ваш путь, то вы там один раз выбрали, когда с Рабашем вы были, да?
You look at your path. Your path. You chose once when you were with Rabash. You placed yourself in that environment, and that's it. Everything was clear.
It just seems to be this way, that I made a choice and then everything was okay. No way. Do not trust yourself until the day you die. Until the will to receive dies completely, until then a person is always in all kinds of different contradicting states.
А что значит, что должно абсолютно умереть желание получать? Это... Все ценности этого мира вообще.
What does it mean that the world receives to die completely? That all the values of this world stop existing for me, and I'll choose finally for the first time.
All of the greatest and most important states in this world will be covered by spiritual states that will be even more important.
Спасибо. Вопрос от подруги. Она спрашивает, в чем заключается работа «Гневить злое начало» в десятке?
My friend is asking, what is the work to vex the evil inclination in the ten? What kind of actions we need to do for that?
Заключается в том, чтобы привести всех
товарищей к одному единому bringing all the friends to a single desire so that it will be greater than everyone.
Hello, dear Rav. Hello, dear friends. How can we have the state of vexing the good inclination over the evil inclination in order to achieve the truth? Thank you.
We want them to collide. We want to have them meet each other, to be in a confrontation with each other, so that out of this struggle, we will reach the right decision.
Hello, Dira. It's a question from my friend. How can I want more for the good to win in the work as a force? I feel that the evil is winning every day.
It is written, envy, lust, and honor bring a person out from the world. So envy, lust, and honor, if you develop within you such tendencies, you will grow bigger in your ego, and this will help you rise up and demand correction. We cannot be only great in the force of bestowal. We have to grow in the force of reception. All the forces of bestowal become great because the forces of reception are under them and push them up.
Barur.
Clear? From below, there has to be the power of the ego, and this is what elevates the forces of bestowal, and then the forces of bestowal become greater. You can't have one without the other. This is why it's built this way. And this is how all of creation develops. Think about it. What connection is done here between the vessels of reception and the vessels of bestowal, that between the two of them perform this type of dance? When does this go up? When does that go up? And in this way, specifically together, they come to a state. Although he is nothing but a spark from the Creator, he begins to grow and rise up to the level of the Creator. Yes.
Rav, he says,
says that while they were small, their deeds weren't obvious, meaning until they didn't ask for bestowal, they weren't really in the work. And when they start asking for bestowal, so the evil inclination comes, and he has to be half worthy, half unworthy. So that state of half and half, that's a constant state of work that you have to keep.
Yes.
So every time I get the evil inclination, I have to demand the good or bestow. That's the work.
Yes.
And not only to search to be in the good, but in the middle between them.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well,
there are many more things to add here, but we'll get to it. Yes.
Question from a friend. I heard that the purpose of creation is to do good to his created beings. How can the created beings bring benefit to the Creator if he is in complete stillness?
The friends can bring benefit to the Creator because by annulling themselves, each one before the others, and their annulment becomes more general, and they all begin to connect, to unite their forces for connection above it, and build a desire to bestow. That's the way it is, which is directed to.
God, and
Moshe, did you understand what he wants?
Earlier, we heard you say that the main evil is that a person doesn't feel he needs help from his ten.
Yes.
So Ali is trying to scrutinize, how can I recognize the state that I need help from the ten? Or how do I recognize that I don't want help from the ten, that I'm in my pride? How can I put my finger on the state? Arius approved.
When I don't feel that I don't need the ten, not to understand the question and not to answer the question, then I am alone. I'm lost. I have no way to advance. Is this clear?
No.
Yes. Well, so what should I do? Only come closer and closer to the ten and find myself connected to the power of the ten, and within them I will advance. There's nothing more to do. Yesterday.
He says, I don't feel I need the ten. You told him to get closer to them, but I don't feel a need for them.
So you need to work, so you do feel the need. But you have no choice, because if you don't feel a need for the ten, if you don't become incorporated in them, and you don't work with them, then it's as if your whole spiritual life is lost. There cannot be anything else here.
Beseder.
Okay.
Yes.
So, the 10 sfirot of igulim, the circles and the line of the Sof that fills them. After the tzimtzum, the restrictions, the vessels were left empty. And within them, the reshimot, the records of the light they had had. They are called 10 sfirot of igulim in the world of the tzimtzum, the restriction. They are called igulim, circles, to imply that the issue of above and below does not apply to them, as it is in a corporeal circle. Because Malchut is the operator, since she is the actual Kli, Malchut of Igulim returned and extended the light in order to receive it, in order to bestow. And here we learn a new rule. A desire in the upper one becomes a binding law in the lower one. Hence now she is forbidden to receive. I once offered an allegory about that. The eve of a new month is a time for saying the small Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, prayer, and for awakening to repent. Sometimes a person debates whether or not to fast on that day too. It is not mandatory to fast, and there is no prohibition on the food itself too. Hence, the choice is in one's own hands. If in the end, a person decides to fast, if he later regrets and wishes to eat, the rule is that the food is now forbidden. So he shall not break his word concerning the oath. Thus we see that initially there was no prohibition on the food, but rather he had chosen to avoid eating the food. To avoid eating, the food became forbidden. The lesson is, in the beginning, Malchut did not want to receive through her own choice. But now that she extends the light again, it is prohibited to receive the light. And if there is prohibition, there are above and below in importance. Hence, this extension is called a line that extends from Ein Sof above downwards. We also learn that even through the Igulim, the circle, even though the Igulim extended the light, they received it only from the line. We must understand why this is so. Any new form in spirituality is a new discernment. Hence, there are two kinds of vessels. One, vessels in which there is no prohibition on reception. Two, vessels that extend now with the extension of the light, and whose malchut is called malchut of yosher, directness, on which there is prohibition to receive due to the rule. A desire in the upper one becomes a binding law in the lower one. We also learn that the circles should receive light from what they had drawn anew. This light is called a line. It contains above and below in importance. And there is no other light. This is the meaning of the circles having no light, but from the line. Yet, there is a big difference between Malchut of the circles and Malchut of the line. Malchut of the circles had the light in the form of filling the whole of reality. The Malchut of Yosher of the line never had any light, nor will it ever have light in its kli called receiving in order to receive. clothed in the line.
What does it mean? Kelim that extend with the extension of the light.
The vessels, the line that was extended with the extension of the light. That the light builds the line, the vessels, and in this way they actually become, they enter into the line.
Yeah.
The vessels of direct light too. There too, the vessel is built by the light, right? There's the four phases of direct light, which builds the vessels of Igulim, the circles. So there are two kinds, one, vessels in which there is no prohibition on receiving, and two, vessels that are extended now with the extension of the light.
Yeah.
So there is something new here that was extended with the extension of the light. What are these vessels?
That on behalf of the line, there's an action that it draws the light into the line.
And by this, it builds new vessels?
Yeah, it's vessels of straightness or directness. And lines of, and lights of straightness. Because before them there's a desire on behalf of the vessel that the light will fill the desire. And in this way, it will realize the desire. That's it.
Where in the preface does he write about the ten sefirot of circles in the line of Einsof that fills them?
He doesn't write. So
where is it in the structure? What are these sefirot?
The circles come before the line. The circles are truly vessels that are natural vessels. The light that builds the light for itself builds it according to its extent, that it's a circle.
So what is this parallel to? The phases, the four phases of direct light, are they sefirot of igulim, circles?
The four phases are still discernments. It's not sefirot yet.
So what are the ten sefirot of circles in the cascading from above downwards?
It comes afterwards when the light expands in the vessel, and the light and the vessel are called circles, and that's how they expand.
Afterwards when? What comes before the ten sefirot of circles?
Before the ten sefirot of the circles, what we learn is that there are four phases of direct light.
So after the four phases of direct light come the ten sefirot of circles?
Yes.
Why?
I don't understand why.
After the four phases of direct light comes shame, restriction, reflected light, and the five patsufim begin, according to the preface.
Right. And it all happened in the vessels of the circles.
What does that mean?
That there wasn't above and below, there wasn't big or small.
Where?
In those vessels.
Of the circles.
Yes.
But where, what is the state that preceded them? We said four phases of direct light. After four phases of direct light,
the vessels of the circles came before them, and in the circles there's no big or small. There's only first and after.
So is there a state between the four phases of direct light and the shame, restriction, and reflected light? And the expansion of the five parts of him of Ak, which are called the vessels of circles?
Yeah.
So what is it? New discernments, the same thing with a different name. What is it?
Rega.
Wait. We get desires that come out. Root 1, 2, 3, 4. These desires are filled with the upper light. They expand as a cause and effect. And what are you asking about that?
And then what happens? Is this the five phases you're talking about now?
Yeah, it's still the four phases.
Good. So the four phases of direct light come out, and then we learn that the point of disparity of form, that's a different matter altogether. So, after the four phases of direct light, shame comes out, the restriction and the reflected light.
Well, let's say so.
Well, that's, let's say so is not clear, because here he adds the tense field of circles that Baruch Shalom doesn't write about.
But there are no other sfirot but circles.
In other words, the four phases of direct light, Malchut of Ein Sof, is the tenth sfirot of the circles?
Yes.
So the four phases of direct light is tenth sfirot of circles.
Yeah.
And the whole cascading of the Patsufim of Ak and all the cascading he writes about in the preface, does it happen in a line?
There's no line yet. The line is a limitation. There is no limitation here yet.
When limitations begin in Galgalta, when it begins to calculate,
yeah.
Is this called a line? Galgalta, Absag, this whole cascading, it all happens in the line?
Yes, of course.
And the circles are outside of this.
On our own.
So after phase four chooses to be similar, what happens?
After phase four wants to resemble, she performs a restriction. She goes back on all the discernments that came before and restricts herself.
So what does it mean that we say that the restriction was done because of the shame?
But she reveals it gradually. Gradually.
Reveals what?
The need to restrict, because her reception of the upper light is revealed gradually, that it is something flawed.
It is written that Malchut of Circles extended the light in order to bestow.
Yes.
We said that in order to bestow is when it's a matter of more higher and lower in importance. As if there is a calculation in Galgalta, and then she can decide how much to receive in order to bestow. And here it says that already in Malchut of Circles, it bestows.
Where is that written?
It says, Malchut of Circles extended the light in order to bestow. There is already an act of bestowal in the place called Malchut of Circles.
Where is that written?
It is written, since Malchut operates because she is the real vessel, therefore, Malchut of Circles extended the light once more in order to receive it, in order to bestow.
Something's missing here.
Yeah, that's what I felt, because it says afterwards, once she extends the light, there is a prohibition on receiving the light. This is in the vessels of directness, right?
Yes.
And then there's a matter of above and below in importance, and then there's her work in relation to the giver. That's why I didn't understand why it said that Malchut of Circles draws a light in order to bestow.
Yeah, because Malchut of the circles can extend the light. The light is only...
Is
it possible that at first Malchut of Insof was built in the form of circles, creating a vessel? And here he writes that after the restriction, she can no longer draw light again as it was on the Day of Atonement. And then he says another vessel was built of a line through which he does all the work. It's as if we have two vessels here working in parallel.
The vessels of circles and straightness.
So it can work only through the line because the circles are only records inside Malchut.
Yeah, and the circles are filled by the line. That's what we learn.
Lesson. In the beginning, Malchut did not want to receive through her own choice. But now that she extends the light again, it is prohibited to receive the light. And if there is a prohibition, there are above and below in importance. Hence, this extension is called a line that extends from Ein Sof, from above downwards. We also learned that even though the Igulim, the circles, extended the light, they receive it only from the line. We must understand why this is so. Any new form in spirituality is a new discernment. Hence, there are two kinds of vessels. One, vessels in which there is no prohibition on reception. Two, vessels that extend now with the extension of the light, and whose Malchut is called Malchut of Yosher, on which there is a prohibition to receive due to the rule, a desire in the upper one becomes a binding law in the lower one. We also learn that the Igulim, the circles, should receive light from what they had drawn anew. This light is called a line. It contains above and below in importance. And there is no other light. This is the meaning of the Igulim having no light but from the line. Yet, there is a big difference between Malchut of Igulim and Malchut of the line. Malchut of the Igulim had the light in the form of filling the whole of reality, while Malchut of Yosher, directness, never had any light, nor will it ever have light in its kli, in its vessel, called receiving, in order to receive.
יפה.